This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brothers and sisters, today's khutbah is about a very important topic. It is a theme that is oft repeated in the Quran. In fact, the entirety of the religion of Islam revolves around this topic. And that is the topic of justice. And it is particularly relevant for us today to highlight this topic of justice and how it is a recurring theme throughout the Quran, because it informs us that the revelation of Islam, the final revelation to mankind, the Book of Allah, the Quran, is not something that just benefits the Muslims. It's not something that just benefits the people who ascribe to believing in the Quran. But it benefits society as a whole. And if we do our jobs as Muslims to maintain and uphold justice, then we will be people who benefit not only us, but benefit society as a whole. Allah tells us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ. O you who believe, O you who have faith, who have submitted to Allah, كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Stand up firmly for justice. قَوَّامِينَ, be custodians of justice, be upholders of justice. شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ, witnesses to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, witnesses to the creator of the heavens and the earth. In other words, as you stand for justice, or you don't stand, and you don't act when you see something that you should say something about, then realize that you will be shuhada alillah, that you are witnesses to God. In other words, that you will have to stand in front of God and answer for your actions or your inactions. We have to be people who stand for justice. This is the command of the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the hadith al-Qudsi, the divinely inspired hadith, that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that Allah said, Ya ibadi, inni harramtu al-zulma ala nafsi, wa ja'altuhu baynakum muharrama fala tadhalimu. O my servants, I have made injustice haram. It is impermissible for me to be unjust, Allah says. وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا. And I have also made injustice haram between yourselves, between the creation, فَلَتَ ظَالِمًا. So do not oppress one another. We are here today, as was mentioned earlier, after 3 months of not being able to go to the masjid, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up for us this door to be able to gather on the day of Jumu'ah for the most important prayer of the week, the Jumu'ah prayer. After 12 weeks of not being able to gather, sharing this space with people who have also expressed their sentiments for justice. We're here today speaking about the topic that we're speaking about, specifically because lives have been lost at the hands of the people who are paid to protect life. People who are hired and paid for by tax dollars to protect and serve. And yet many people have been dying in their custody. The last of which that has created this national uproar and where we are today, the life of George Floyd, at the hands and in a manner that when we look at it from our perspective as Muslims, we could not even kill an animal that way. It is not permissible for us to even choke a sheep, not to mention another human being who has life that is sacred, because Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah the Almighty, has made the life of human beings sacred. And so, this image of a knee on somebody's neck, this unjust in slow execution of another human being on camera has created this outrage, and it should. Because we can't sit by and watch as this oppression happens. The only way that a person can go to that level is not only because they don't recognize their victim as being human, that they look at the person that they are killing as less than human, but also because they've lost their own decency and sense of humanity. And it's built on a system that has historically made these divides so that one group of people feel human and another group is less than human. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet Muhammad over 1400 years ago, his teachings abolished these notions of racism and tribalism and colorism and all of these other isms. Our Prophet said on one of the most important days in the history of Islam, when the Muslims returned to Mecca to reclaim what was rightfully theirs after having been rejected and pushed out of their land, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالنَّاسُ بَنُوا آدَمَ. He said this in front of the entire Ummah at that particular time. He said that the people are the children of Adam. People are the children of Adam. وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَ آدَمَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. And Allah has created Adam from dust or from dirt. Look at us. We're all created the same. We're all made up of flesh and bones and organs. We're all made up of the same elements. Allah created Adam from dust or from dirt. And we're all the children of Adam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهُ النَّاسِ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The Prophet ﷺ recited this verse from the Quran, from the Surah Al-Fujurat, the 49th chapter of the Quran, the 13th ayah. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O mankind, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى. We have created you from a single male and female, from Adam and Eve. And we have made from amongst you nations and tribes, لِتَعَارَفُوا, so that you get to know one another, not that you denounce your tribes. We are different. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create us different so that we could claim supremacy over one another, but that we oppress one another. But He created us differently, ta'ala, so that we get to know one another. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. The most noble of you in the sight of Allah, the most honorable of you, O mankind, human beings, the most honorable of you are those who have the most taqwa, those who are most God-fearing and most God-conscious, those who fulfill the commands of God and avoid His prohibitions. That is the only thing that distinguishes us. It's not our color. It's not our backgrounds, our ethnicities, our nationalities, how good you look, or how long your hair is, or whether you're fat or skinny, or tender. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Those of you who are most honorable in the sight of God are not white or black or brown. They are those who have the most God consciousness. And this is why our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one of his last speeches, and this was to the entire Ummah during the farewell Hajj, one of the last addresses that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make to mankind, a message that would be taken and passed down after him generation to generation, so he can say today, in the language of our Prophet ﷺ, what he said on that day. When the Prophet ﷺ said, all of you are from Adam. He repeated that. All of you from Adam. And Adam is from Zulam. And Adam is from dirt. أَلَا لَا فَضْلَ لِعَرَبِيٍ عَلَىٰ أَعْجَمِي وَلَا أَعْجَمِيٍ عَلَىٰ عَرَبِيٍ. Indeed, there is no supremacy for an Arab over a non-Arab, or a non-Arab over an Arab. وَلَا لِأَبْيَضَ أَوْ لِأَحْمَرَ عَلَى أَسْوَدَ. It's not for a white person or a red person over a black person. And not a black person over a red person or a white person. إِلَّا بِالتَّقْوَى. Except by God consciousness. This is the scale that we as believers in Allah, and believe you, this is something that is very specific to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of that message. Going from a religious standpoint, from a divine standpoint, that we are equal, except by way of our fear and our consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why our Prophet emphasized this point. When one of his companions came to him and mentioned to him that he had said something negative about another companion because his mother was black, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do you shame him? Do you speak ill of him because his mother is black? إِنَّكَ أَنْوَأُ لِكِيْتَ جَاهِلِيَّةِ. Indeed, you are a person that has some remnants of Jahiliyyah, the times of ignorance, the times that were before Islam. That those teachings, that we are better because of our color, that we can shame somebody because of the color of their skin, that that has nothing to do with Islam. It goes against the spirit of Islam. There are so many problems that we are dealing with as a nation. So many. We are in fact, as you wear your masks and you socially distance, in the midst of a pandemic. The last months have been months of fear. We fear this virus, COVID-19, this thing that we cannot see, but that attacks the human being and leaves them short of breath. A virus that we're scared of because it takes away our ability to breathe. And in the midst of that, we're dealing with another virus, often unseen by the naked eye, often hidden. But it is also a virus that has led to people losing their breath. And this is the virus of racism, which has literally caused people to say, "I can't breathe." But yet that virus stays on top of them and continues to attack them until they really cannot breathe anymore and until they lose their life. So we're not just dealing with one pandemic. We're dealing with the systematic virus that we're going to have to fight as a nation. This virus has caused the loss of life, of many lives. Last week it was George Floyd. And the week before that it was many others. And the years before that it was Michael Brown. And it was Tamir Rice. And it was so many others who have lost the lives that Allah has made sacred. As Muslims, we don't believe that one life is more sacred than another life inherently. Allah has revealed in the Quran that the taking of one life, this is how important life is. The gravity of taking one life unjustly is like a person has killed the entirety of mankind. And life is so important that saving one life is like you have saved the life of all of mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "No man qatala nafsan bighayri nafsin aw fasadin fil ard, فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا." Allah revealed to those before us that whoever takes a life, except as punishment for murder or for causing corruption and mischief in the land, it will be as if they have killed all of humanity. And whoever saves a life, it will be as if they have saved all of humanity. Life is sacred. And today, we specifically say that Black Lives Matter. We say that because Black people in this country have never been treated fairly. And so we have to call it out and call it spade a spade. Yes, all life is sacred. Allah has made all life sacred. But this problem that we're dealing specifically with today is that black lives have not been given that same sanctity in this country. Black lives, black people in this country have for years, for centuries, dealt with oppression, systematic racism, and torture at the hands of the white power structure. They have been disproportionately targeted by police and harassed and faced police brutality at a rate there's no other people in this country face. And for that reason, it is important that we as Muslims, not just black Muslims, but that all Muslims who believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that our Creator has made life sacred, and that He has forbidden injustice, that we all stand up and stand in solidarity to make a change in this nation.
And back, brothers and sisters, our Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the teachings of Islam, make it known to us in no uncertain terms that we Muslims have to be agents of change. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that there are no people who see a wrongdoer amongst them. They see a zalim, somebody oppressing others amongst them, somebody who is a proponent of injustice amongst them, and they don't take him by the hand. In other words, that they don't stop his wrongdoing, except that Allah will encompass them all with punishment. We can't be complicit. When we are complicit with injustice, that we are subjecting ourselves in totality, not just the one who's doing wrong, but we subject ourselves as a whole to divine retribution. And that's scary. And we should be afraid. And this is why our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said amongst his companions, help your brother, whether he is the oppressor or the oppressed. They said, O Messenger of Allah, we know how to help the one who's oppressed. How do we help the oppressor? What does that mean? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, stop him from his oppression. Stop him from his oppression. Now, that stopping is governed by the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said to us, whoever from amongst you sees evil, and let him change it with his hand. But if he can't change it with his hand, it's not in your authority to do so with your hand. Changing it with your hand is going to lead to a larger evil. And let him change it with his tongue. And most of us have the ability to do that. The only thing that stops us many times from changing something with our tongue is that we're cowards. Is that we're scared to say something. You're around somebody who's saying something that is racist and you're silent. No, you can say something and you have to say something. Today, from today on, you can't allow that to happen in your presence. You have to take a vow to yourself that you're going to be an agent of change. The Prophet said something on to say, no, that's still fear. Whoever can't do it with his tongue, but that is the ab'afu man. Then let him change it with his heart, and that is the weakest of faith. In other words, you can't be indifferent. Even if you feel like at that moment, you can't say something. You can't not feel something about it. You can't become desensitized to the racism that is systemic in this country, that has become a part of the fabric of so many institutions. We can't just be silent. It's not okay. And for those of you who are privileged, Don't feel bad because of your privilege. Don't feel bad. Don't feel guilty. It's not your fault. And there's nothing wrong with being privileged. If Allah created you white, you're not guilty for that. If Allah gave you parents that had the ability to send you to the best schools, you don't need to feel guilty for that. There are a lot of people who suffer from guilt. But here's the deal. It's not enough to say, I identify with the victim. We feel bad about what happened to the victim. That's not enough anymore. You who have been given that privilege, you have to be the first people to address the victimizers because they're like you. You have to be the first to confront the aggressors because they're like you. They're not like you in the sense that they hold your beliefs, obviously. But they like you in that they share a certain privilege that many other people in this society have been denied. And so when we talk about, well, what are we going to do? This problem is a centuries-old problem. It didn't happen overnight. And we're not going to just automatically change systems overnight. But we can start with ourselves. And for those of you who have political influence, you know elected officials, you know CEOs of large companies, you know people of influence, athletes, and other you have to allow your voice to be heard. You have to take that struggle to those people who otherwise will not listen. Let your voices be heard. And let this be the wake-up call that many of us needed to affect positive change and not to allow things to just go back to the status quo. Brothers and sisters in Islam, to conclude, we must recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us the caretakers of this country. He's made us the khulafa. It may not be the reality in some places that we are in those positions to be the caretakers, but nonetheless, this is our duty. We are caretakers. Wherever we are, we should affect positive change. We cannot be bystanders. We cannot turn a blind eye to corruption and oppression. We are the caretakers of this earth. There are over 250,000 of us in this city alone. And if we were more organized, if we came together to strategize, then we definitely could affect change. But that's for the leaders to do. That is for the leaders to figure out. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them and us to figure that out. At the same time, we can all play a role. We have to now incorporate the teachings of Islam in our social lives. The teachings of Islam are not restricted to ritual worship. It's not restricted to zakat or fasting the month of Ramadan or praying or making hajj. Islam is not restricted to that. It has to penetrate every aspect of our lives. One of our teachings is that whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let him honor his neighbor. We all have neighbors. Do our neighbors know us for our kindness, for speaking to them, for being people who contribute positively to the neighborhood, for being honest businessmen and businesswomen? Do our neighbors know us for that? How do they know us, or do they not know us at all? You know, we have a responsibility to take these teachings to the people and not let them stop at us. In fact, brothers and sisters in Islam, as we talk about this fight for justice, we talk about upholding the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to people and claiming those rights, let us not forget the rights that the Creator has over us. Oftentimes, we get caught up in one struggle and we forget a larger struggle. The Creator has rights over us. The greatest of those rights is that we worship Him alone. and that we don't involve ourselves in any form of idolatry. That we worship the Creator alone, that we become true slaves of Allah. And when we become slaves of Allah, we are free from bondage to His creation and to created systems. And our hope and our fear and our reliance and our trust is upon Allah alone. And it's not upon any system to give us those rights, because those rights are God-given. And when we get to that point, that is real. That is real power. And that is the highest form of nobility. That we are slaves to Allah and slaves to nothing else. That we bow down, as we're going to do in a minute, inshallah. That we prostrate only to God. That we don't bow to any system. And that we don't prostrate to any system. But that we stand up for justice. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring healing to this nation and to make this a safe and secure nation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring justice to those who have been oppressed. ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم صل على محمد.